the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with our very good friends at ESFE, where we run the best shot of the day.
ESFE, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, there were shots played, but not the kind of shots that you've been expecting from the West Indies. Well, well, well. From Kingston, Jamaica to Bridgetown, Barbados, the mighty Gabby continues to sing, Lord, send an answer for we. And we sing it again. What an ordinary performance by the West Indies side. And the question we're asking, can't you defend 374 runs? The answer, on the evidence of what we've seen, is clearly no. And tonight on Mason and Guests, we certainly will take a look at that performance in relation to the West Indies side. We're going to get some reaction, of course, from many people around the world. We hope to hear from Russell Arnold. We're going to hear from Ed Rainsford as well. And we're going to open the lines very early tonight because I'm sure that you want to get your piece on this. But without any further ado, I'm going to go to Philo Alfonso Wallace, who was in Barbados recently. Philo, can you explain what this is all about? Tell me, please, my friend.
Good evening, Andrew. Thanks for having me back on the show, Dr. Ford. Welcome. Thank you for having me. Thanks to Sherlock Hart, Heaven, Boogie Burke, Carlos here in England. Andrew, I was surprised at what transpired over the weekend in relation to West Indies. First of all, taking on Zimbabwe, and then the Netherlands. Zimbabwe was a hiccup. I thought the Zimbabweans showed a lot more fight, a lot more purpose in defending that total. It was a gettable total. The pitches seemed to be, the pitch against Zimbabwe seemed to be a decent one-day pitch. But again, application was lacking and very soft dismissals. I know we keep complaining about our fielding, and it's been a concern. But the game against Netherlands, Andrew. I received a call yesterday from my good friend, Sir Andy Roberts in Antigua. He was driving, and he asked me, what is the score? I went on cricket info, and I saw 300 and some before. I told him, hold on, I have an old game. Because I never thought that Netherlands would get anywhere close to that total. That was a fantastic total. The batters produced, but then in the final analysis, the bowlers failed us. And It is heart-wrenching when you see guys go there and bat as wonderful as they've done. But yet, the game has been lost by some simple errors. Not bowling proper lines and lengths. Not taking the chances. Not showing that urge and eagerness. We knew the importance of Saturday's game. We also knew the importance of the game against the Netherlands. Those 4 points eluded us. And we've made it very hard now for us to get in. We're in the Super Six. So congratulations to West Indies and the other five teams. But we've made it very hard for ourselves to qualify for the World Cup in India. So it's heart-wrenching, Andrew. I think when you look at it, the decision-makers in that game against the Netherlands, we need to find out who are the decision-makers that made the decision, obviously, for the Super Over. I want to know who's the fielding coach. There are three assistant coaches, and I would like the identification of their roles. If Carl Hooper is batting, James Franklin is bowling, what is Roy Reefer's job as an assistant coach? Because we have a fielding coach for the right ball team. I would like to know if there's a fielding coach for the white ball side, or how much work is being put in that area. Because the head coach said he realized that it's a problem. So if it's a problem, you need to work on the problem or work harder. Because when the chips are down in this type of competition, you need to pick yourself up. Even if it's an off day, you need to go down to the ground and do some work and try to get your skill levels up. And I found against the Netherlands, whatever we throw at the Netherlands, they had the answer. They were really up for the fight. And we seemed to back off And again, Andrew, pace.
Mm.
Pace. We need Alzari Bowe well, but we need help. I want to know the position with Kariah. We've kept Kariah. I see kept Kariah in Zimbabwe. He had an injury with his nose. Is it that bad that you couldn't even ask him to play in that game against the Dutchmen, the Netherlands, the ball 10 overs? Is he that bad that he could not play in that really important game to get those 2 points, that must get those 2 points? What is the position? And these are the problems that are going on in cricket lessons. We don't get anything coming out from them. And then we see a whole lot of mistakes. And then it's about learning. We've been learning over the last 20 years. You can't learn if you're messed up.
Mm.
You know, and I think it's very sad the way how we've played these two games in Zimbabwe. I would like to know what happened in UAE and what's happening in Zimbabwe. Where's the difference? Is it the surfaces? Is it the opposition? Are we not putting in the effort, a little more effort in Zimbabwe? What is the problem? You know, there's a lot of banter going around. But we lost the game, Andrew, in our fielding and our bowling. We also have to look at the captaincy of Shehawat with his decisions in relation to who is to bowl where and when. That also needs to be discussed. Who's the bowling coach? Is Mr. Franklin saying that this body has to bowl and Shehawat is following instructions? What is the problem? It's very sad and it's hurtful to see that West Indies have been whipped again by a team that is below us. And obviously, they're smiling. The happy faces of the Netherlands are smiling. And I commend them for playing a well-constructed 50-over game. They never panicked. They kept it cool, they looked business-like, and they went about their jobs in a professional manner. Things that are lacking in our cricket. And I do hope that we can turn it around. And then Super Sixes start. Let's see if we can get some victories and hope that God can carry us where we want to go, and that is to India. But there's a capital H for that hope.
Yeah, I agree with that. Interesting, Philo. Let's get a reaction from you, Dr. Ford. What are you telling us, Doc?
Good night, Andrew, fellow, our listeners. You know, it is a bit disappointing, but as a fan and as someone who's interested in West Indies cricket, I did have my reservations, and I never rested easily with the idea of us qualifying, and I was never sure that we could. But if you look at the coaches, positive outlook before the qualification period. He was talking about building an identity and good habits and taking responsibility. And then you consider Carl Hooper's response regarding whether we could go lower, and Hooper being forthright enough to say that we could. And then you look at what the coach said yesterday after our defeat, saying that he was positive, but you have to go to rock bottom in order to come back up, and that the performance was a true reflection of where we were, and it won't change overnight, that we weren't hungry, we were the poorest fielding team, and the team lacked energy. And, you know, we heard Carlos Brathwaite mentioning the team's lack of energy when bowling. And all in all, we dropped many catches. We've never made enough runs to really be competitive. I think the fact that we beat USA and then other teams beat USA a lot, to a lot greater extent than we did, we knew that we were in trouble. And losing these two matches is really a reflection of where we are. We have issues on every side of the ball, mm-hmm. batting, bowling, especially fielding, the mindset. We have to totally rebuild and accept that our cricket, this is a reflection of where our cricket is. I know that as fans, we are very optimistic and everyone is hurt by what's happened, but I think we have to face the reality. And I think also CWI has to face reality as well. And the way that they speak about the cricket, the way that they speak about how people perceive us, the way they speak about our finances, I think there's a lack of transparency and forthrightness in every aspect of the cricket. And you look at where, let's say, what Jimmy Adams focused on, just creating coaches. You look at how you perceive choosing coaches. There are so many aspects that require solutions. And the players really are a reflection of where we are. But if you think about it, Andrew,
mm-hmm.
our players being as ineffective as they are isn't only a reflection of us, it's a reflection of the players. And that's something Sir Andy always says. You have players who are exposed to franchise cricket, different coaches, different people who help them with this psychological aspect, different services. They are experienced, but yet we get these results. We look at, for example, how some of our players develop. You look at a Darren Bravo, you look at a Steve Smith, you look at the trajectory of their development, you look at all of our players from under 19 and the way they fall off in development. I think that Sir Andy has a point that our players just don't mature, they just don't achieve their full potential. I don't have all the answers, but we seriously have a lot to try to fix. And I think we are squarely now in the group that we are performing at, which is a very competitive minnow side. The test side is better, but we have to accept that this is where we are and try to move on from here.
All right. We've been joined by CEO of Cricket West Indies, Johnny Grave. Johnny, good evening to you. Johnny? We're trying to get... Hello, Johnny?
Good evening, Andrew.
Yeah, okay. All right. We're hearing you now. Your reaction to the West Indies poor performances in Zimbabwe?
Hugely disappointing. Not just the result yesterday, but also Zimbabwe. Prior to that, we were good enough to beat both those teams. We got in positions to win both matches, and we didn't take those opportunities. So hugely disappointing results, and now it's out of our hands. We've got to pick ourselves up. We've got to go and beat Sri Lanka. We've got to beat Scotland, and we've got to beat Oman, and we've got to play for some pride and hope the results go our way. But in all seriousness, we're pretty much as close to being out of the World Cup as we can be without that being official.
Yeah, I'm sure that many people are very, very disappointed as far as that is concerned. I know that Philo and, of course, Dr. Ford will have questions for you. So let's throw to Dr. Ford. Any questions for Johnny?
Well, Johnny, I keep beating down the same door. And my question is, and I know you've answered it before, but I still ask, as a team that's moving down the rankings and the way the ICC is structured with payments and the way the world goes as far as sponsorship and deals, I want you to tell me forthrightly, what does the diminishing brand of West Indies as it stands affect the bottom line with revenue and our potential?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I think the reality is it's not helpful. I mean, this is West Indies' job and task to get back to the top of the world is extremely challenging, because the rest of the world, as I've said before, is moving forward at pace, developing even better systems, even better facilities, wider pools of players, and making significant strides forward on all levels of their cricket. And for us in the West Indies, we're 20 years behind, and we're trying to play catch up quickly. Our brand and the unbelievable legacy that we have is getting further and further away in terms of from the forefront of people's minds and of young people's minds. And therefore, the situation where we may well face not participating in a World Cup, or even when we do participate in a World Cup, only winning one or two matches, is damaging to the brand, is damaging to the legacy. And ultimately, that will have an effect on the balance sheet and the P&L. It will be harder to attract sponsors and broadcasters, because the product isn't as strong as it needs to be. And that makes everything even more challenging. That's the reality. Will it have an immediate effect on the balance sheet? Possibly. But certainly the long-term effects, if it continues across all teams in all formats, then yeah, absolutely it will.
Unlike FIFA and soccer, where FIFA is trying to broaden the base of participation in their World Cups. The ICC has kept participation static, and it's got to the stage where some of the member nations don't get to participate. We know about the fee-sharing structure and how it's dominated by the big three and others that are more relevant. We do know that our voice is small and dwindling, but I think, what do you think about making representations as it relates to getting more assistance from the ICC and getting together with other smaller nations that are disadvantaged by the revenue sharing in order to get the revenue to help to build everyone's cricket and to help to lift cricket generally, and just instead of just leaving the top six teams or just letting everything be controlled by the top three, do we need to get a group together to really work on representing and making it that necessity important?
Well, your first point is well made, which is the 50 over World Cup that comes around once every 4 years now, and has done for the last few editions, only has 10 teams, which means two full members are guaranteed to miss out every single edition. And despite the fact that the world, in my opinion, hasn't done anything of real substance to grow the game in new markets, the emerging nations are significantly improved. And we've seen that Holland knocked out South Africa in the last World Cup. Scotland beat world champions England in 50 over cricket. We didn't get out of the first round of the T20 World Cup last year, and we're struggling in this edition of the qualifiers. And we were at one point, both Afghanistan and West Indies that qualified from the 2018 tournament were looking like they were struggling. So despite that, the so-called minnows of cricket, these associate teams, you know, have been playing for years and years in high-performance systems with good facilities, good coaches, and are improving. And do they get the exposure? Do they get the amount of games that they need to against better opposition consistently to really challenge and improve? No, they don't. Do they? Will they in the future? Yeah, look, the next World Cup in 2027 is going to 14 teams. Do I welcome that? I guess I do to a certain extent, but I see no reason why that event couldn't be 16 teams, because I think we've seen in the last two editions of the qualifiers that the associate teams, despite their lack of funding and their lack of support and their lack of structures to really get the opposition to improve, they've made amazing strides. And the T20 World Cup that we'll be hosting next year will have 20 teams, and I do welcome that. I think that is a massive step in the right direction, because teams need and boards need World Cups to incentivize and reward the efforts that they're making to improve their teams and their players and their cricket structures. And as you said at the start, to grow the game into new markets, which is what we need to do and focus on as a sport. So, look, I think the good news, I guess, financially, is that there will almost certainly be more and significantly more money coming to West Indies and other members in the new cycle from 2024 onwards. We're 3 months away from having a balance sheet that proves that we're no longer insolvent and bankrupt. So, you know, there's a platform there and a platform with, you know, I wouldn't understate how difficult it was and how respected West Indies cricket needed to be at the global level to get a T20 World Cup. And that's a huge honour. It's a massive responsibility, because this absolutely has to be a platform financially and for our facilities and to engage and inspire the next generation. Otherwise, it's yet another missed opportunity. And we cannot miss another opportunity as golden like this when it's presented to us. So looking forward, I would say that the 2024 T20 World Cup is even more important that we use it as a financial platform and as a platform for real legacy in terms of facilities. But again, you know, to have a World Cup to inspire the next generation of players, male and female, we need a West Indies team to do us proud and to play well and win matches. And that becomes, you know, even more important than it was a week ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, a short question for the end. If you consider as CEO all of the deficiencies in our facilities and programs and everything that we want, I mean, can you give us a ballpark figure as to the financial injection you think Cricket West Indies would need to really do all the things it needs to do to get up to the standards of, let's say, South Africa or one of the other nations?
What I would say, Andrew, is we're not going to get there immediately. And there is no silver bullet, because the number that I would give you would be astronomical. But what I would say is that, you know, if we continue to try and make off the field very, very good strategic decisions, we can grow our revenues. We can get more money to the territorial boards and local associations where it's desperately needed. And if we work with those territorial boards to invest the money where it's most needed, and not just on short-term solutions, but on long-term, difficult, tough and challenging initiatives that will need not just West Indies finances, but finances from the public and private sector within that locality, mm-hmm. then I definitely see a way forward. You know, we've made, despite COVID, big investments in Coolidge Cricket Ground. We've made big investments in the academy. And I think what the academy proves that, and maybe, you know, the successes of the 2012 and 2016 World Cups proves that if you put our players in good facilities with high performance support behind them, like Stanford did, and the Stanford T20 and the Caribbean T20 gave those T20 players before they went to win those two World Cups. And like our academy did, our academy had what I would say is a basic high performance structure behind it, playing in good facilities in Antigua at the High Performance Centre. And despite not playing any first class cricket, came up against the best of our first class cricket system on the back of them playing 5 4-day matches and outperform them. So it proves that if we can put together our players in high performance systems with good facilities, we get the outcomes that we need. So how do we improve those high performance facilities quickly at territorial board level? It's going to take money, and West Indies need to provide as much as that as they can. And the territorial boards need to find as much money as they can locally and make the good decisions to invest it, because we know that we've got the talent, and we've seen some of that come through. But you know, again, when we look at the white ball team and we look at the world rankings, they don't lie. Shay Hope's the only real player across the different facets of the game that's anywhere near the top 20 lists of best performers. And if you're going to compete at World Cups, you need to have multiple players across the different disciplines of the game in those top 20 rankings in order for you to beat the best teams in the world. So we need better teams, and for that we need better players, and for that we need a better system to produce those players.
Andrew, I just wanted to say, I want to congratulate Zaren Joseph for getting the 100 ODI wickets. Obviously, he's the fastest to 100 ODI wickets for West Indies. I also want to congratulate Nicholas Pooran for another ODI 100, and the women, who started brilliantly, Captain Hayley Matthews leading from the front against Ireland. No, Johnny, you said that the teams that are right below us are improving a lot quicker than West Indies. But why is that? Why is it that we see any improvements in the Omans and the Netherlands and the Scotlands and the Irelands, but yet West Indies is stagnant? Why is that development not happening at the rate that we expect it to happen? Mm-hmm. And obviously, coming out of the HBC, you said that the HBC in Antigua is working. Now, your biggest bug as a board is to get now the HBC, the territorial boards, to set up their individual HBCs. Are they going to mimic what you have in Antigua, so you have a common ground in which the young cricketers can train and obviously have the same platforms in which they can develop their skills?
I think that for me, Philo, would be the, you know, the nail on the head, which is we've seen that by putting together a group of young, talented cricketers here centrally in good facilities with that support structure, that they can improve their skills and perform far better than what we've the best that the region has produced on the back of a first-class season. So absolutely, we need satellite academies and we need them quickly in place. We need them to be well-structured, playing in good facilities, but we also need that for our age group pathways so that the players that come into those academies through not just under 15s and 17s and 19s, but you know, under 9s and under 11s and under 13s. And again, not just male cricketers, female cricketers. We know that Coolidge Cricket Ground probably has, I would say, if not the best, up there with any facility in the Caribbean in terms of just sheer number of, we got 6% of wickets that are maintained by a professional set of ground staff. We've got 6 practice wickets. We've got wickets on both sides of the outfield, one in front of the Sticky Wicket building and one in front of the old Antigua Athletics Club. Mm-hmm. And even that, despite the fact that we wouldn't be running as many and consistent programs as the territorial board, we're running out of capacity. And most of the boards don't even have the capacity that we have. So if you're really running an age group professional structure of under 9s to under 19s and under 23 academy, a men's and women's senior side, you need the players to be playing in really good, high quality facilities. When players don't play on good wickets, that's when they develop bad techniques and the practice becomes diminishing returns because they can pick up bad habits because they're having to adjust to the fact that the footholds are too deep and they're bowling off. They're coming wider of the crease. Everything that you know, Philo, from if you're not playing in good facilities, if our players are playing in good facilities and training and working hard, and also motivationally, I know that if you give players really good wickets, if you're a bowler or a batter, you want to train, you want to work hard, you want to stay out there longer. Mm-hmm. If you're playing in facilities that are all the grass has been removed and they haven't been maintained for weeks, it doesn't motivate you as a cricketer to train. You're worried about getting injuries. You're worried about, developing poor techniques to adjust to those facilities. So, the challenge is there. We know what we need to do. We're honest in our appraisal. We're bitterly disappointed. As Philo rightly said, the only good news that came out of us on Monday was the fact that the women beat Ireland and that Hayley led for the front and got 100, a run out, 3 wickets. Stefani was back playing well. But, this is what we know, that even our women's pool is too thin. So, I think Philo's right. The next big challenge for us in terms of developing better players and better teams is to ensure not just for the future generations, but for when these players come back into the region, they've got facilities and support structures where if they've got injuries and niggles, we now have 6 full-time physios and SMCs that were jointly recruited that had minimum salaries and minimum qualifications in order to get those roles. At least when our players now come back, they've got those medical teams to work on their bodies, but we need them to work on their techniques and we need them to be training and working hard in between series and wanting to come back to the region and wanting to train, knowing that they've got good facilities and good support structures in place. And that's the challenge. In the meantime, we've got to hope that the men's team go and perform well and play with some pride and win some games. Hope they get lucky and results go our way. But if they don't, then we've got the opportunity in October and November to have a complete reset of our one-day cricket. You saw how the Netherlands hustled, how they ran the first run quickly, how they fielded it with energy and our white ball cricket. We didn't qualify for the 2017 Champions Trophy. We only won 2 games in the 2019 World Cup, having had to qualify and only just really qualifying for the 2019 World Cup, and we're struggling to qualify again in 2023. So we need, as Darren Sammy says, we've got to find the West Indies way and define it better, and we've got to play a better level of cricket in our white ball cricket across the system. Because if you look at the stats coming out of Super 50, I think the average score over the last 5 years of a Super 50 team is 240. Now, that's not good enough. You can't expect players to come from regional level having scored an average 240 and be winning games of international cricket. That measure and benchmark has to be 300. But as we saw yesterday, when you do score over 350, you've got to be able to defend it as well. So, we're all bitterly disappointed, but You know, it's not easy, but we've got to do, as Philo said, we've got to focus on what's important, and we've got to, as Andrew Ford rightly says, we've got to bring in more money, because it's all very well saying that we need the territorial boards to establish high performance centres, but they're going to need money to do it. And, and the number one funder of that will be Cricket West Indies, I'm sure.
Johnny, more to the point here now, in relation to the West Indies side, when is the side coming from Zimbabwe?
Well, depending on how results go, I mean, the test players will come back on the Saturday, immediately after the final group game against Sri Lanka. And the rest of the players will depart whenever the ICC book us, which is only once we're being eliminated, which wouldn't be till Saturday morning at the earliest, if results don't go our way. And obviously, if results do come our way, it would be the Monday after the final.
So let me get this then. So we got a test match in Dominica on the 12th, am I right?
Yeah, the first test match against India starts in Dominica on Wednesday the 12th. Yeah.
Good. All right. And your test players are expected back home when? The 9th, is it?
Hopefully on the 9th, just trying to look into flight rooms at the moment.
Okay. All right. So they just have 3 days then before the test match. Is that acceptable?
Yeah. Well, I think in the history of cricket, players would have come off county cricket or West Indies Shield cricket and gone into test matches. They're professionals. They'll have their 3 days of prep. The other test players are coming to Antigua in a couple of days' time for an intense test camp under the leadership of Andre Coley in preparation for that. And subject to selection, I'm sure Carl Mayers, Jason Holder and Alzari, as I say, will be back with 3 days to spare. And you know, they're experienced players now. And I'd expect them to, as long as they're not carrying any knocks from the last body of cricket, for them to be ready to go.
Let me ask a question. Is Brian Lara in Zimbabwe?
No, he's not, no.
But was he not to be there? I mean, my understanding is that he was to be there.
No, I mean, Brian's working across several teams as a performance mentor. And as you say, I've just missed a call from him. So, he'll be working with both the men and the academy at points over the summer. And then clearly if we, you know, around the Super 50 and resetting that white ball stuff, he'll be an important member of the cricket department, leading to, as I said earlier, to define a style of play and to adopt that throughout the system.
So there was an expectation that Brian would have been with the side.
For Zimbabwe?
Yes.
No, I think the original plan was that he was going to be part of the UAE matches in Dubai, but not necessarily part of the actual matches in Zimbabwe.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I would have thought he would have needed them in terms of his influence for the more important games. Don't you agree?
Well, he's not a full-time member of the support staff. So like Jimmy Adams was there for the first week. He's coming in for different interventions, mainly around camps rather than actual match days and during series. That's really when the head coach is there in charge of the team and his support staff. And Brian's there to come in to do structured sort of interventions, mainly doing the preparation camps, working with players on a one-on-one basis.
Okay, I see. Fair enough. Okay. Just before you go, Doc, we're going to pause our business calls. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. The lines are open, 434-1790. But of course, Mason and Guest brought in association with our very good friends at ASAP White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, Dr. Ford, just before you get to the question, of course, we want to get some reactions, so we're going to try and get some quick reaction to the West Indies performance so far. So let's go and hear quickly from Russell Arnold, who of course is an international, former international cricketer, former Sri Lanka all-rounder, and he had some very interesting things to say.
There's been plenty of surprises in the qualifiers up to now with both groups, certain upsets, but one that is unbelievable is the West Indies losing two games against Zimbabwe, who've been playing very good cricket. It was the fielding that let them down, that extra discipline, whereas the batting under pressure did not perform. Yes, we know West Indies are powerful and they like to play their shots, but at certain times you've got to rein it in and make sure you get over the line rather than playing the high-risk game all the time. But allowing Zimbabwe to get to 268 at that point was the disappointing factor. But then once we got through that, we never expected another upset where West Indies at 374 on the board. Everybody thought that was enough. But then again, that intensity in the field just not coming their way. And hence, credit to Netherlands who kept going, hanging in there and believed that they can get over the line. 374 they get, and then the super over. Just a few decisions here and there. Probably the best bowler should have bowled the super over. For me, that was Alzari Joseph. I guess since he bowled the 50th and West Indies had to go straight back out, it was always going to be a challenge. But 30 off that final over, exceptional from Logal van Beek, and then the bowling itself. Once 30 was on the board, it was going to be very hard for the West Indies. Well, they're still not out of it, but it looks very, very hard to progress to the World Cup. They need to win all three and hope that other results also do go their way. But all in all, disappointing performance, not playing to their strengths, just totally relying on the firepower the batting has to provide. And from there on, not paying too much attention or maintaining any intensity in the other departments of the game is probably the reason why West Indies find themselves in this situation.
All right. Doc?
Yeah, that's a pretty succinct commentary there. Johnny, I wanted to ask one question about the coaching, about the coaching group. When will we know the support staff for the coaches for red and white ball? Because I noticed that the assistant coaches have shorter contracts. When will we know who the settled coaching, what the settled coaching groups will comprise of the individuals?
I don't think we've put a timescale on it. As we announced when we appointed the support staff a few weeks ago, they're appointed all the way through to the end of the India series, which finishes mid-August. We then got a break for the Caribbean Premier League. And then we might have quite a long break until England come here in December. So we'll use that period to work with Darren and Andrew and, you know, what will be then the new director of cricket. And we'll make that determination of the makeup of their support team based on feedback from the India series and the World Cup qualifiers in the series in the UAE.
So does that reflect a lack of confidence in the group, or is it a revenue saving initiative to have a break and then bring back a group? Because it is a bit odd to have, you know, the head coach's name, but not it is a bit surprising to me. So what's the rationale for doing that in spite of the break? I don't think that's the way it's been done in the past.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think at the same time, it's to give everyone, the individuals themselves who are assistant coaches and the head coaches, time to see how they gel together, how the players respond to their coaching, other opportunities that they may or may not have in the calendar moving forward. And then if we can, we tend to try and align contracts to those of the head coaches, and we try to align all the contracts around those landmark ICC events. So Andre's around the World Test Championship, and Darren's around the White Ball World Cup. So I think we're taking a slightly more conservative approach maybe than the past. There might be a period in mid-August through to, you know, December where we wouldn't be playing much international cricket. So at the same time, don't necessarily want to have expensive assistant coaches on long-term contracts if there's limited work for them to do.
All right, just hold your horses there, Doc. Let's take a couple of calls. 4341-790. People want to get in and get a reaction. Let's take a call. Hello, welcome.
This Tuesday evening at 6:15 on VOB and VOB929.com. Join us, Mason and guests, as I ask the question: are we now classified as minnows? That's a question for you, Andrew. Are we now classified as the West Indies team? I mean, classified now as minnows.
What do you think?
I think so. Oh, I think so. Everybody beating me now, man. I think so. Next question for you, Andrew. Now, logically, the West Indies won. Sorry, the West Indies played today, the other night, and they made 374 for six.
Right.
Netherlands made 374 for nine. Who should have won that match, that game?
Well,
Logically.
I heard you today because you were making the point that because the West Indies lost less wickets. Was that the point you were making?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. There's no need for a super over because we got the better average.
That used to be the rule before.
Yeah, they changed the rules now. But T20 cricket had come with a lot of pretty things now. That's why I'm asking.
Right.
And I've been asking now that the run out should go to the bowler.
Right.
Because if Netherlands could win this thing now with the super over, there was no need for a super over thing because we got a better average. So, but the mechanism.
Or is it. Okay, we lost. Okay, fair enough.
We got a better average.
We lost less wickets, so therefore we should have won.
Exactly. Okay. So there was no need for a super over, but T20 cricket playing in pretty colors and pretty lights and all that sort of thing. This comes to you in compliments of ESAP's Right Ram, the best shot of the day.
All right, we're going to try and take a couple more calls before we come back to Johnny Grave. Hello, welcome, Mason and guest. Hello, welcome.
Now, first thing, I heard Roland Holden make a comment last week.
Yes.
That when the players get to this level, you don't need a coach. My first question is, if they're going to say they don't need a coach, they claim the West Indies doesn't have any money, why is the West Indies throwing all these so-called coaches and nobody knows what is the position? Now, first thing first, you see that victory, you remember what I said last week. If the West Indies qualify, I'd be very surprised. Now, we was in trouble from the time we picked Dan Sammy. Now, we picked Shana Paul as a coach in the CPL. He's a great.
Caller. Let's go. Hello. Welcome, Mason and guests.
Yeah, good night, Andrew.
Yeah, good night.
We are looking down a deep, dark hole, as you say.
Yes.
Have we even meet the big teams yet? At 370, some of those teams, they are the right bowling is weak or batting is weak, Andrew.
Right. Batting is weak. And bowling too.
Yeah, man. But I tell you, we ain't even meet the big teams yet. And the teams getting those runs. As you were saying, we looking down a deep, dark hole, Andrew.
Yeah, we are. Thanks for your contribution. Let's take one more call before we go back. We've been joined by international journalist Akeem Green. We want to get some reaction, of course, from around the Caribbean. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hey, Mr. Mason. How are you, sir?
Hey, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. Mason, I think I know the problem. The problem that I just passed by Commerce School and Harrison College School at least every lunchtime. And you see the children are battling football. You see them playing some basketball or some other sport, but you will hardly see people playing cricket. Now, we ruled the world because we was playing cricket every minute, every second of the day, so we guaranteed to rule the world in cricket.
Right.
But now the fellas hardly playing cricket, so we guaranteed to be at the bottom of the table. That's what happened. The fellas is not playing cricket. They're not putting in the effort like we put in when we were young. And that's the one problem in cricket. The fellas, they're talking about all sorts of money, but no money, nothing. The fellas just got to play cricket, always in cricket situations, all the time. And these things that Amal Fellow Walsh should be talking about, but he know how he get great by playing every minute.
At some point after Friday, if the board approved the recommendation from the interview panel.
Okay, fair enough.
And then second question, look, USA cricket has been in a difficult situation almost since we won that bid with the leadership team at the time to host the World Cup in 2024. So from sort of November 2021, Major League Cricket has got sanctioned, at least for this year, as a trial in Dallas, only one venue with their six franchise teams, of which a number have IPL ownership, which obviously gives the league franchise owners behind them. The operators of Major League Cricket are from Times of India Group, the original founders of Willow TV. So again, have experience of cricket and the cricket market in the US in particular. There is an interim chair of the US who we meet with and speak with on a reasonably regular basis. We're playing matches in Florida against India in August, so we continue that. We haven't yet been able to enter into a long-term MOU partnership with USA Cricket, although one has been on the table. Just again, they want the stability at board level of a not an interim chairman approving this, but you know, they need to get their elections conducted and appoint a long-term chair before they feel it's appropriate to enter into a long-term relationship with us. But we want to grow the game in our time zone, in our market. I think you're right. I think Major League Cricket, if it gets it right, it's really exciting opportunity for the game to grow in the US. And clearly with us being a full member in the ICC Americas region, I think the US market is our fourth biggest TV market at present. You know, bodes well for us if the game can grow there, and not just in the US, but also in Canada. And the global leagues coming back to Toronto, and the guys at Brampton are looking to build a stadium there. And Cricket Canada, you know, also represent a good opportunity to grow the game in what is also a very established sports market in Canada. So both are exciting, I think, plans for the future, and bode well. And we talk to them regularly. We're meeting them again in 3 weeks time in South Africa around the ICC AGM. And we continue to collaborate with ICC and through ICC Americas with all the other members in this part of the world.
Okay, we got to pause for business calls. When we come back, the lines are still open. And of course, Akeem Green, I'm sure, has got a question or two for Johnny Grave while he prepares that big story in his local paper tomorrow to tell everyone that Kevin Sinclair is on his way to Zimbabwe. But Mason and Guest brought in association with the very good friends at ESFE Work Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESFE White Rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, Akeem, any questions for Johnny?
Yeah, I don't know if I came on a bit late, so I heard you were speaking about contracts. Those text guys from clarity on that. Recently, the Guyana Harpy Eagles would have announced their list of players for the upcoming season. A part of it, some interviews that stem from it, we clarify that some players who are not contracted by the Harpy Eagles, I was due to their intentions to be playing in some leagues overseas. I would assume the statement coming from the selector means that they're also not contracted by Cricket West Indies. I'd just like to get a word from the CEO about how soon can we see the contract list for the new period up, and is it true that a lot of players potentially are not accepting contracts given that they want to be able to free to play in more leagues?
I expect that we'll announce essentially probably all the franchise lists for the next 3 months in the next couple of days following that draft that took place last week. The contracts that we're offering just for a 3 month period from July the 1st till September the 30th as we align all the contracts in the system to our financial year. So new contracts will be issued on a 12-month basis from 1st of October to the 30th of September 2024. So this will be a 3 month pool of players that will be announced, and franchises will have the ability to change players prior to the new 12-month contracts being issued on 1st of October. But I expect to confirm all the squads within the next couple of days.
All right. We're going to take a couple of calls. Akeem, any other questions before we go to the phones?
This 3 month contract, this is for West Indies players as well, or just your just your regional players?
The international players, men and women, again, and actually subject to agreement with Wiki, the umpires as well, will get 3 month extensions. All the existing players under contract will get a 3 month extension on their current terms, and their new contracts will start 1st of October.
I see. We can take a couple
so
of
no dis- oh, yeah, so yeah. No discussions as yet, or any indication from the international players about their acceptance of these contracts in terms of those who won't have contracts already. I'm assuming that you guys would have already had discussions with some of the international players about being on the contract for the upcoming year. I'm just wondering, have you got to the intention already that some guys are not going to be signing a contract? Some of those who already have contracts as well won't be signing back.
No, I haven't. And as I said, they're not for the upcoming year. The 3 month extension that we've offered all the international players, men and women, but at this stage, I'm not aware of any player not having them,
though. All right. We're going to take a couple of calls. I know, Johnny, you've been on for quite a while, so we'll have you for a couple more minutes so you can reflect on your performance on Mason and Guest. Always pretty good. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Hey, good night, Andrew. How are you?
Good night to you.
I'm good, man. Andrew, don't forget, I tell you something earlier for the year.
Yes.
The destiny is not going forward.
Yes, you did tell me that.
I told you that.
Yes.
You can't expect Andrew to go forward with Jonathan Styles and Mears and them fellas who are. Andrew, we at a full stop. At a full stop there. We got no water all the time. Then they can't back. We keep on. We all be going. I want to know for what they've got this captaincy. I'm going to start on him already. You got to give my son time. Every week he's got this. You can't just be catching actually for one series, man. Like, man, come on. You got to do better than that. If we don't try and help the fellas, the West Indies, they're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere.
Too much pressure on the captain. And here we go. You want to make that'll be last one. I've seen that 300. How much? 375?
374. I couldn't defend them.
I couldn't defend 374. I had a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. And Jason Holder bowled it. Okay, caller, listen, when you come on this show, we can't have that. So let's move to another call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you.
Mr. Mason, this subject got me puzzled.
Tell me.
Who does get the privilege for to get a border boy last over? To board that over?
Well, put it this way, I mean, I was very surprised at Jason Holder, who, by the way, his cricket is, you know, it's not as good as it should be in the last 2 years or so. I was surprised. I think everyone would recognize that. I think that Zavi Joseph should have bowled the over. What was also interesting too was the captain actually opened the bat in the Super Over, didn't he?
Sheh Hope must
understand that. You know, at that stage, it's no longer a 50 over, no, it's T20. So I was rather surprised to have seen Sheh Hope open the matting. But, you know, I've said for a long time, we're not students of the game, sir.
Very, 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 very coaches coming. But all the coaches coming out.
Yeah.
How on earth could you come yesterday against us or whatever?
Yeah.
When you're bowling good the whole season.
Yeah.
You got your top bowler, Andrew Zodis. He should have bowled it.
I agree with you, caller. I agree with you 150% in that.
But you can ask how these people are thinking. And them without signing. Only blind men is dropping.
Oh, 18 and 4.
You can't drop the kids and beat the bodies. No. That's a play cricket.
No, terrible. Absolutely.
Too many kids drop. And I tell the coaches, I don't know what I thought with them because you could only tell a man what to do. I can't go in and do it for you.
Yeah, I
but
agree.
Something like an answer gave me before. Mr. You see the men scared about all the going to pay for you. Like, yeah? You see the men standing and the ball going to be hungry.
Oh, dear. Terrible.
And we got coaches. The men agree. I said the ball can't get the ball stopped if he's still skating.
Yeah. All right.
They're going to hurt themselves. I know the play people see the walk and stand behind the ball. I say, be more ball, ball like the man. The man had a over ball, I allow the man to run too. This comes to can't, we can't beat nobody that kind of cricket.
And Kimo Paul also played a reverse sweep.
I should be reversed.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Reverse sweep.
Yeah. The other thing to call is that, you know, we pick teams, right? And we look and see if a fella can bowl and a fella can bat a bit. And I've said for 30 years that we devalue bowling, you see. And even in the construct of the side, you know, that's why you pick a Romario Shepherd, because you want him towards the end of the innings to maybe come and make 25 from 10 balls and a Kimo Paul and a Rodman Powell, instead of picking a genuine bowler to help an Al-Zahri Joseph. You know, we spoke about that last week on the show. And by the way, Desmond Haynes hasn't gotten it right, you know. I must admit.
He never had a right point. Right. So he's going to be just the arrest.
Yeah, he's all over the place like Punka. Let's take another call. We can. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
All right, good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you, sir.
I wanted to come on a different point. My point is, I would like to also check when West Indies cricket made a downturn.
When?
When.
Well, it started.
When you move from having the headquarters in Barbados, took it to Antigua.
You think so?
Yes, I
do. So it has nothing to do with the players?
Study cricket. Let you look at what happened with Antigua. Look at Leah.
No, come on.
Look at Mr. Stanford.
Yeah, call.
Antigua have to be blighted, man.
So what about the players?
The players?
Yeah.
Bring back the headquarters Barbados and it would change.
You reckon?
Yeah.
All right. Barbados players are struggling too, you know.
But we don't discuss Barbados cricket because we're scoring, if you look outside the cricket,
right?
They're only scoring, some teams only scoring 100 runs and 50 overs.
And still he wanted to come back to Barbados. Logic is the sense of reasoning, caller.
We need to have a discussion about Barbados cricket first.
All right.
Not West Indies cricket.
All right. What we're going to do now, we're going to wrap up with Johnny and we're going to open the lines. I know many people want to talk about it. Stay with us, Hakeem. Got a couple of questions for Johnny. I know that Philo's got a couple of questions as well for Johnny. Johnny, can you tell us when the West Indies squad will be announced for the first test?
After the camp, we're bringing in a number of players, as I said, in the next few days for a high-performance camp. Ahead of that test series, and after that, I expect the test squad to be announced.
Can you give us a date?
No, I can't, because I don't have that to hand. But the test training camp.
It begins when?
Well, Andre Coley arrived today, and I believe the players arrive Thursday.
Okay, so the camp starts on Thursday?
I believe so.
And ends when?
When they travel to Dominica.
To Dominica. All right. Now, in terms of the test match in Dominica, from a marketing perspective, what would be the thinking in having a test match in Dominica as opposed to two T20s or two ODIs? Because I'm beginning to think that can Dominica, with this population, sustain 5 days of test cricket, Johnny?
Yeah, look, I think since Hurricane Maria, what the government have done there at Windsor Park in terms of improving the stadium, brand new revision, brand new sound system, they've completely renovated the ground. They haven't hosted a test match since we played Pakistan there in 2017. So it'll be the first time in 6 years that Test cricket has played in Dominica. And every time I've been to Dominica for cricket, the crowds have come out and been, you know, highly passionate and got behind, rallied behind the team. So I expect nothing less when India come to town, and that Dominica will be ready, and Dominicans will be ready to enjoy Test cricket and welcome India, who I think played there back in 2011.
Mm. My final question before we go to Philo and to Dr. Ford for you, because as I said, we're going to let you go pretty soon and open the lines. Are you ready? In terms of World Cup hosting next year, there was some talk that we might not be ready. At this stage, in terms of your planning, are you ready like Freddie? World Cup next year?
Not ready like Freddie, but I'm confident with where we're at. We're just finalising the budget with the ICC. We signed the host agreement. We're working on match schedules now. I think the slight uncertainty comes from the co-hosting in terms of exactly how many matches will be played in the United States and where they will be played. But from a West Indies perspective and the Caribbean, we're in a good place. The team under our tournament director are coming together, based in Antigua. The ICC head of events for the World Cup has been here since the start of February. And as I said, the budget will be approved, we hope, by the Finance and Commercial Affairs Committee of the ICC next month, along and ratified by the board in the middle of next month. And we're hoping to be in a position where we'll know the venues. And clearly, once we know the venues, we're just looking for the US sign off from ICC so that we can build and confirm that match schedule. But we're in a decent position a year out.
Can you give us the names of some of the people that will be part of that committee to ensure that everything goes well?
Yeah, Fawaz Bash is the tournament director, reporting into me for the event. He ran the 2022, the most recent under-19 cricket World Cup that took place in the Caribbean in January of last year. He was the operations manager for the 2018 T20 Women's World Cup that took place in November of 2018. He's worked on FAT all the way back to 2007 when he was working in Guyana with the local organising committee there. So a huge experience from him and other members of the team, and they'll be coming on board. And yeah, we'll be publishing and recruiting roles pretty consistently over the next 6 months as we ramp up those operations, particularly once the venues are known.
Who are the others working with Mr. Bash? Can you tell me?
I can. I'm not sure how many of them you know. Myself.
But I don't need to know them. I just know. I want to know their names.
most of the appointments we've made today have been Cricket West Indies staff who have been seconded to the event, either on a full-time or part-time basis. There's about three members of the Caribbean Premier League team who are also coming across. We've appointed a venues and facilities manager who used to work for Udicot in Trinidad,
Johnny,
looking after the...
Johnny, I need names.
Well, okay. Well, you want to know all the staff that have been appointed to the World Cup today?
I didn't ask that at all.
Okay. What was your question?
Yes. Indians are coming with a lot of baggage, with a lot of bags. Cricket West Indies are prepared. They're going to Dominica.
Yes.
Cricket West Indies going to prepare to get the luggage into Dominica in a respectable time frame. Are we ready for the Indians? Because we know they travel heavy.
Yes.
And they travel with a lot of players. Are we truly ready to have these guys and around the Caribbean properly?
It's a very good question, Phil, and it's a massive challenge finding the charter flights both for the cargo and for the passengers. I'll be honest, we've probably had to shuffle the pack of our original plan because airlines or planes are no longer available, or crew shortages have meant that they're not willing to commit. So but look, we're in a place now where we've got everything in place. All the hotels are booked. All the charter flights are in place. Obviously, you know, we made the announcement for the first time ever. We're doing a full TV production of the women's series in St. Lucia against Ireland, which means the TV crew, most of them are now in St. Lucia along with most of the production kit. So that will leave St. Lucia and go straight to Dominica after the final game. So, look, it, undertaking the operations of a long series and where we're hopping around is post-COVID is a massive challenge, and this India tour will stretch us and our partners. But I'm confident that we've got plans and contingencies in place to cope.
And just before, Philok, in terms of hotel accommodation, the guys will be staying on the west coast of Dominica, that posh hotel. They'll have to travel close to an hour every day to get to Roseau. Or are they going to be staying in Roseau?
Yeah, they're staying up at the Intercontinental. There was a Kaplinsky, the new hotel in Portsmouth. We'd be traveling down with police escorts to Windsor Park.
And that's about what, close to an hour's drive?
Yeah, about an hour, just under an hour with the police escorts.
So it means the guys are going to leave their hotels pretty early then, don't they?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think for the India team, travel through Mumbai traffic, and but for our players, they're used to travelling on a morning of the game. Yeah, slightly longer than I guess they would normally only want to travel maybe a max of half an hour. But again, they get the enjoyment and comfort of the best hotel probably in Dominica. And certainly feedback from our players and Bangladeshi, they even did that last year, was positive. They enjoyed the hotel, the property, and
it was wonderful. It's a lovely hotel. I'm sure you've stayed there, Johnny, haven't you?
I've stayed in both hotels that we're using. The same one for the TV crew, Fort Young, down in Roseau, which is a nice, as you know, morning stroll.
Yep, nice, lovely.
And what was, I've not stayed in the Intercontinental, but when it was under the Kaplinsky brand, yeah, I've stayed in that hotel. So, yeah. As I said, I think Dominica is ready to host these events, and I'm sure they'll put forward a bid to host World Cup games as well.
Akeem, any final questions for Johnny before he goes? Or Dr. Ford? Akeem, start with you. Akeem, have you left Georgetown and Burbies?
Well, Akeem gathers himself.
yes, Doc.
Yes. Johnny, I'm going back to the replacement player Sinclair, and you know, we found out this afternoon it surprised me. I know nothing really surprises Andrew, because maybe he knew before. He seems to know things. Don't know if it's a sixth sense or if it's some other mechanism he uses, but I'm a bit surprised that we didn't know about it by way of a release, or it didn't seem to be common knowledge. And you know, I'm just asking you as to whether you think the communication of that addition was done in a timely manner. Do you think it could have been done better or earlier, or you think it's been done the right way?
I'm surprised it hasn't been announced as Kevin got on a flight a few hours ago from Barbados, having flown up this morning from Guyana. I think we rightly wanted to get in there as quickly as possible once Yannick was officially ruled out, once he saw that ENT specialist yesterday following the operation that he had on the injury to his nose. But ultimately, we're waiting on final clearance from the ICC that they've given it the technical committee sign-off. So, again, it's probably more procedure from these tournaments that's stopping us. We have flown Kevin out there probably ahead of the official word coming through from the technical committee because we don't expect them not to approve it.
Philo, I wanted to ask you something quickly. Does it surprise you that we get another off spinner? We have Ralston Chase. We have so few games left. Do you think another off spinner is
good question,
the best use of our resources in the region?
Very good
in
question.
Our dire situation.
Very good question, Doc.
Dr. Ford, they're finished with it. There's no here to watch Junior again in our one-day cricket, in our white ball setup. The left-arm orthodox spinner, Aki Hussein, to me, is not as effective. I'm surprised that the off-spinner is going. The guy needs to be happy. But if you look at it, Russell Chase has been entrusted with that off-spinning role. Now, Kevin Sinclair is going as a replacement. Is he going to play? Or he's just going up for a trip? And these are things that I don't understand. All the selectors are in the Caribbean. So having another off spinner, you have an off spinner there, it's baffling to me. You know,
who'd you have picked, Philo? Oh, you wanted some time to think about it.
This is me, Andrew. I think that Yannick Corral, from all that I've been hearing, that he's bowling well and he's an integral part of our white ball setup, something could have been done. Yannick Corral could have been, you could sit down and talk to him. and ask him, listen, can't you dig deeper and help us out? It's about playing for West Indies. You got hit in your nose. Okay, yes, there might be an operation, might be a little. Right. Can you dig that little bit deeper to help us?
Mm.
Because Malcolm Marshall years ago played with a broken hand. I don't really want to go back that at that time. But we need these fellas to show a bit more spunk and toughness for cricket, Andrew. Okay, he got struck in his face. Rifa got struck in his face. I didn't see Rifa with a mask on anymore. So I said maybe this guy is able to play.
Right.
But Johnny said that they've said he cannot. He's not going to recover. And they're sending an off-spinner maybe half Russian too. So, again, Andrew is cricket West Indies. Everything is done willy-nilly. And there's a lot of explanations.
But it's also the Desmond Haynes-led committee. I mean, they're all over the place. There's no reason to.
But there's no reason to
carry Sinclair, carry a fast bowler, carry McAllister, or carry.
The recommendation would have to come from Monty Brogan.
But carry a fast bowler. Al-Zawi Joseph needs help.
But Andrew, I'm all for pace.
Oh God, come on.
But if they decide to carry off-spinner, Andrew, it is what they decide. You see, there's nobody to overrule what they're doing. There's no DOC in place.
Yeah.
So there's nobody to really overrule, because from what I gather from a document that I've read, the DOC have the power to overrule some of the selections.
Yep.
But they don't have a DOC. Because you need firepower.
Of course you do. Of course you do. We are quite prepared to play bits and pieces cricketers. This is why we will pick Akeem or Paul, or we pick a Rodman Powell or Romaris Shepherd, you know.
I think Carl Lewis is struggling with a hamstring injury. Is he going to be fit enough for the Super Sixes?
Struggling.
So these are little problems, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Akeem, we want to thank, of course, our very good friend Johnny for coming. Any final questions for your good friend Johnny? And then we're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to take as many calls as possible. Akeem, anything?
I just wanted to know how the plans or the talks are going by finding a next sponsor for the West Indies senior men's cricket team. I saw recently you have a deal with Rush, but it's been a while since we've had any big sponsor logos on the jerseys in front. I know it must be reeling because West Indies financially not having a sponsor. Our plans are progressing in that way, Mr. Grave.
Talks continue with a number of brands. If we don't qualify for the World Cup, that's not going to be helpful at all. So we'll probably be looking at short-term opportunities for the India tour, and then again getting into longer-term discussions ahead of the England series in particular, and before the next Women's International Series against Australia towards the back end of the year. But we're still in talks, and we're still doing everything we can to raise revenue both from a media and sponsorship perspective. And I expect some positive news on that front in the next couple of weeks.
And Johnny, quickly, the first class players this year, not being paid. You're struggling with that? That's my information.
We're not struggling to pay their retainers. We are late on match fees for a number of players, but they're all going to be cleared in the next, 4 to 6 weeks. The players, we've been in constant communication with the players through Weeper. And this is, as I said before, by the end of this financial year come September, hopefully the challenges and difficulties of COVID will be behind us, and we'll be building our cash reserves and making sure that we're a much more robust organisation from a financial perspective with that asset of Coolidge Cricket Ground on our books as well too. I think we need to then live within our means and make good decisions. And the 4-year budget cycle will help that. So we know exactly how much money we need to raise when we're hosting India and England. And then how much we will dip into those reserves in the years where they don't come. But I expect us to be bang up to date with all of our player payments, both retainer contract and match fees.
All right, Johnny, thanks very much for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your evening, Johnny.
Thanks, Adrian. Thanks to the panel members, and speak to you all soon. Take care.
All right, we've got another, 20 minutes or so left on the show. Let's pause for business calls. When we come back, the lines are open, and we certainly want to get some reactions. Stay with us, Akeem. We just heard there from Johnny that the guys, a little birdie told me this, but then again, they tell me things that these guys have not been paid for 2023. I would imagine that Dr. Ford may write a check for them. Anyhow, Mason and Guest, brought in association with our very good friends at ASFE Wet Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE, the bike rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, fellow, there's a chat that you're in, one that they created. I know that Akeem Green is in it as well, and they're certainly going crazy about the appointment of Kevin Sinclair to replace Yannick Carrère. You better look at the chat, fellow, and what they're saying about you. But we're going to take some calls on Mason and Guest. Let's go to the telephones. Hello, welcome, 746 in the country. Hello.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening to you.
How do you do, sir?
I'm fine. Oh, our favorite caller.
Good evening to you, Mr. Good evening to you, Andrew, and good evening to your guest.
You started with Mr. Mason, then went to Andrew. Which one is it?
Well, you tell me which one you're more comfortable with. I love.
Well, it could be Mr. Andrew Mason.
Okay, you take both.
You would then cover all bases. Yes, talk to us,
Andrew.
Yes. What happened? You watched the cricket yesterday?
But look. I am on my knees and I'm praying. I'm praying because I'm convinced that we need, and I'm serious, divine intervention. Sir, how long have we been going back to the drawing board or
divine
the drawing boards right
intervention.
Now?
Intervention. That's a strong one.
How long have we been having programs like this where you guys bellyache and lament and quarrel over the sloppy performances of our team?
Yeah.
I want to suggest that maybe our problems are far deeper than cricket, man. Mm-hmm. I think our problems go far, even further than just beyond the boundary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it probably has something to do with some sort of spiritual, intellectual, and psychological deficiencies in us as a people.
That's a very strong statement, caller.
But you see, I think cricket is just a metaphor. You see, it comes down to human attitude, commitment, hard work, intelligence.
Are we not getting that at all?
In no aspects of our endeavors.
Yeah, I agree. Right, I'm very concerned about it, caller. I mean, we seem to just don't know the game either. I mean, we're not fit and we don't know the game.
Sir, I want to suggest to you, right?
Yes.
That if the Ukrainians were like us,
right,
the Russians were down over random already.
Oh, my God. Have a good night, caller. Let's try and take a couple more. Can we? Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest 748 in the country.
Hello, Mr. Mason and Guest.
Hi. How is our favorite caller, number two?
I'm very, very disappointed.
Why are you disappointed, caller?
The performance of the rest of the day. You know, I told you last week I was hoping, but I wasn't really sure. Because I watched a lot of cricket between Scotland and Ireland and Zimbabwe, and they bowled in the top. I watched the game, and to be honest with you, the Finns had the worst ball in the top.
Yes.
And the feeling was atrocious.
Yes.
I don't know how professional men could behave like that. When they play for CPL, they miss bracket themselves to go and the ball is stop at four.
But for the West Indies,
they're just looking at the ball and going the boundary. Their feeling is let down West Indies, you know.
But not only feeling, caller. Roston Chase bowled the 49th over and conceded 21.
Don't forget.
The 49th over should have been bowled by Joseph.
No. If West Indies had a plan, they would know who bowled the last five overs.
Yeah.
You won't have to think who's going to bowl.
Yeah, and Shea Hope, you know, all Shea Hope does is to spread the field. That's all he does.
But you can't blame Shea Hope. The man getting paid to do a job.
No, I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming a lot of I'm blaming the players, but I'm also saying that, you know, I just find that there's no obvious plan under Shea Hope. as well.
And West Indies go away. Like, look, from the time I saw Netherlands going at that ball.
Oh, yes.
I said...
But we don't have any bowling caller. We don't have any bowling.
But is it feeling?
Leeds selected Desmond Haynes, picked a team. And when you look at it, look at all these all-rounders in this side. We're the specialist bowlers.
You saw that catch, that power drop?
Oh, yes.
He's ridiculous.
Hmm.
I'm feeling poor.
Poor.
Very, very poor. Why Mears was not playing?
No, he got an injury. He sustained an injury. Again, Kyle Mears has to go on too as well. I mean, yes, you're getting 50 and 60s. But, you know, in this cricket, you know, you two or three balls a ball, you don't get a run, then somebody
goes for a big shot. You cannot bowl six balls before the run.
There's no plan. There's no plan, Carla.
Even if Kyle Mears did play yesterday, I don't think we'd be so desperate.
Yeah. All right,
but
thanks.
Our feeling was very, very poor. I'm not... West Indies going to win a match. They may be a month, but...
Oh, man.
They ain't going to come home because they can't beat Scotland and they can't beat Sri Lanka.
Oh, my God. Okay, thanks for your contribution. So, we're going to try to sneak as many calls in. Dr. Ford and, of course, Phil and Akeem Green, certainly with us. Can we take a call? We can. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests. Hello.
Good evening, Mr. Mason.
How are you? I haven't heard you in a long time.
That's so true.
Why is that, caller?
The caller before the lady who spoke just before me.
Yes.
Literally was saying some of what I was thinking about.
Okay.
But I'll change it by saying thanks to all the sponsors who... And VOB 792.9, who are bringing us local cricket now.
Right.
And there's some exciting cricket to look forward to.
Yes.
On Saturdays and Sundays.
Wonderful.
But honestly, Mr. Mason, I'm glad that you're still having sponsors to keep this show on air and for us to be listening to this thing over and over again.
Yes.
Is distressing.
And I think and I think the show should can have some more sponsors too. I'm going to speak to Ken Husbands about that. Ken tends to have so many sponsors.
Well,
Ken, can you get some more sponsors for Mason and Guess?
Well, that depends on the performance of the West Indies.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Ken.
Then we're in trouble.
And,
quick, Phil, how are you doing, Phil?
For more than a decade now. I mean, for more than a decade
now. Good night,
Ken. There was a time when I was actually begging Mr. Mason to please lay off of the captain, who's now the coach, because I thought he was doing such a good job.
Oh, this is Darren Sammy?
Yes, because you know I had loved him as a captain.
Mm. You don't love him. And you don't love him anymore.
I will never stop loving him.
Oh, he's a wonderful man.
As I said, I had to be begging you in those days.
Okay,
but it goes to show how long we've been waiting. Our team, where is our team?
You must be hurting deep down inside.
Deep. I mean, can you tell me a super? What did they call it? A super?
Super over. Super, 30
super
runs.
Over. Oh
every ball went to the boundary. Oh, my God.
Netherlands.
Jason Holder bowled it. And he's a favorite in Barbados, you know, so you got to be careful what you say about Jason Holder.
Well,
but you know, I'm not afraid.
I'm not joining you against Jason Holder.
Well,
truth
is not always popular, but truth is always right. Jason Holder's cricket has not been at its best in the last 2 years or so.
Well, as the lady just said, they go other places and they play so well.
Yeah. Would you have bowled hold in the last for the Super Over?
Well, let me tell you this, right?
I
only heard about the Super Over because I positively refused to listen, watch, and I kept getting the results on my phone.
So
that's how I knew there was a Super Over.
I see. All right, Call, we got to go because there's now about 5 minutes to go before the show ends, and we got to try and sneak one or two other calls in. Ken,
okay.
Can we take... Thank you for your contribution. Can we take at least another 10 calls?
There's no... Yes. what did you say?
10 calls. Let's go back to Dr. Ford, gentlemen. You asked a very interesting question, Doctor, in relation to Kevin Sinclair. I get the impression you would not have picked Kevin Sinclair. Is that right, Doc?
Well, I don't, unless the wickets are big spinning wickets, I don't see us having having Kevin in the team. So I wasn't sure why we went there. I do understand your point that a faster bowler could go. But, Andrew, we have a quality problem. But, I mean, I still think, however, that, you know, we lack spinners. And I still believe that Hayden Walsh has been hard done. Mm. He's had the
So the question for you, Doc, who would you have picked? If you're not going to take Kevin Sinclair, I got my pen and paper. Who would you have picked? Or you want some time?
Yeah, well, I don't mind picking a faster bowler, as you said, or I would have gone with the Hayden Walsh. I don't know if he's available, but I don't think that that Sinclair is the best use of the resources. The thing is, we have a lot of guys who can't pull their weight. We mentioned Robman Powell, so we are a batsman short having our player short having Robman Powell completely. Right. So I do get that point, but I don't think our problems go deeper than one player. That's why I've tried tonight not to really dissect the game and the ways that we've lost, because we can look at it. We've lost in every step and every facet and every part of the game. So I tire of looking at games and dissecting them, because I think our cricket has more fundamental issues than that.
No, I agree with that.
And
Andrew is also another guy that we're not taking. What has become of this boy, Jaden Seal?
Yes.
He's
still injured.
His rehab. He's being rehabilitated.
Yeah, but what is he doing? How is he progressing? India will soon be in the Caribbean.
Yes.
Last week they said they were hoping that he'd be ready for the first test, but he's really had no cricket behind him. So to put him in would be a liability. And that's where I get back to the medical panel. The medical panel has overseen many instances where players have gone on tour and have broken down very early. We have a higher injury toll and frequency than any other team that I know of. We produce players that are palpably not fit, but yet are said to be fit. And again, this episode where someone's hit in the face several days ago and not knowing the natural history of an injury, assessing the person's lung capacity and their ability to play from a respiratory point of view, and the protracted time for the surgery, if there was swelling, if there were mitigating factors, everything goes so slowly that I sometimes believe that the experts are not expert in this type of sports medicine.
No, you're right, and what Johnny said tonight really was appalling. A final comment from you, Akeem Green, the mayor of Georgetown.
You know, I can't understand some of the rationale has been given against the selection of Sinclair. I think we forget that initially the squad had about, was it three spinners? And then they moved to replace Moti with a batsman.
Yes.
And even on a form basis as well, the young guy, has been one of your most impressive all-rounders, not just now, but since last season.
Right.
And then recently dominated in Bangladesh, then played one match against the UAE, not the best of opponents, and did well. So there is good enough value in selecting a young kid who's in form to be given an opportunity. It is a fair enough argument, though, I would say, about how we would potentially fit into the team. But I think it's a good way to reward value and form. You send a fair enough message. And thus far, no one has suggested a quality option other than this young man. And I think Dr. Ford raised a point as well that we are indeed lacking quality in the region. Because we want to talk about selecting someone else. But obviously, we're all baffling with our mind to select somebody or put a name or dear of quality to be in the team. So that in itself is obviously another conversation. But, you know, look, these issues with West Indies run deeper than what happened in the UAE, in Zimbabwe. And I hope it's truly a wake-up call for people if they didn't have it already. I think we would have seen Mr. Rowley's message this morning.
Yes, we saw that.
You know, it is arguably the worst performance because, again, as I started off saying, I just could not understand, you know, how West Indies, a team, would have posted 3-7-4 and then can't defend it against the Netherlands. You know, that was a really mind-boggling one. And it's really improbable that they're going to qualify for the World Cup in India.
Right. Thanks, Akeem. Always good to hear from you. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford. I do agree that on the evidence of certainly what we've seen from Sinclair that, he would have to be considered clearly by performances. But I think when I look at the construct of the side, I would not have picked him. I would have picked Zaheer McAllister. I would have gone to Shannon Gabriel because I believe that we need to get some support, certainly for Alzarri Joseph. He really needs that support. Gentlemen, a pleasure having you on the show. Dr. Ford, thank you. Fellow Wallace, get some rest. Akeem Green, earlier we heard, of course, from CEO of Cricket West Indies, Johnny Grave. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a brighter tomorrow. It's good night.